Tu Bishvat. Okay. So, Tu Bishvat. Why do you celebrate this holiday called Tu Bishvat? Right? So first of all, the makor is the halacha in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph. It says that on Tu Bishvat we don't say tachanun. We don't say supplications. Because it's a Yom Tov, it's partial Yom Tov. So the Gaon of Vilna, first of all, the Magen Avraham brings that a minig is to eat peiros, to eat fruit. Why? Because Tu Bishvat is one of the Arba Rosh Hashanim, and this is the Gemara brings the Makor for Tu Bishvat. We have in Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah, we have Arba Rosh Hashanim, we have four New Years, and Tu Bishvat is a new year for Peiro Ta'ilam.
Wait, how come?
And the Gro says that this is a Yom Tov. It's considered a Yom Tov. Tu Bishvat is considered a Yom Tov. Now, what's the whole Inyan? What's so special about this day? So there's a Shem Mishmur. It's a Chassidic Rebbe. It's a Shem Mishmur. So he explains, he says, the Tu Bishvat, the fact that it's Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanot, so he explains, what's an Ilan? Chazal tell us that a man is similar to a tree. Ki Adam hu eitz hasadeh. Man is the tree of the field. It's like a tree of a field. What is an ilan? What's the purpose of an ilan? An ilan is implanted in the ground, and from the rain it produces its fruit. It's mechabe. It connects the ground to its fruit. Right? The fruit, says the Shem Mishmur, represents the peiros of a person. The peiros of a person represents his mitzvahs. So just as a person, like it's Gemara and Sota says, why when a person dies in between two cities, and he's closer to one city, you do an egla rufa, you know? You cut the calf, why a calf? You cut, you know, you break the neck of the calf over Nachal Eitan, over a stream of water. And he said, our hands didn't shed this blood. The elder of the city said, our hands didn't shed this blood. And the Gemara asked, why Egla, why Nachon the Eitan? Because these things didn't produce fruit yet. And Egla didn't yet, was too young, was 2 years old, didn't produce, up to 2 years old, well, didn't produce yet children. Didn't. So to this person, didn't say produce fruit. So the Gemara says, what's fruit? So it's mitzvahs. So you see, the Gemara calls fruit mitzvahs. So a man, he's also the mechabe. Just like a tree connects the ground to the fruit, which is the produce of the tree. So to a man's produce is his mitzvahs. Eile told us Noach. Noach. Who are the generations of Noach? Noach himself. Ish tzadik haya bedoratav. The tzidkus of Noach is him himself. Is his fruit, is his generations. So our fruit is our mitzvahs, our good deeds. A man in this world is the one who's mechabe elyonim letachtonim, the higher worlds to the lower worlds, and his fruit are his maisim tovim, his good deeds. So, just as Tu Bishvat, right, is Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot, in some way it's also Rosh Hashanah for us. Now, we have to understand what Rosh Hashanah, how does this represent Rosh Hashanah for us? So, he explains that basically the year is divided to 12 months, right? A third of 12 months, like 4 months, is Shvat. If you go from Tishri, you have Tishri, right? Cheshvan, Tevet, right? Shvat. No, sorry, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevet, and then Shvat. 4 months after Tishri is Tu Bishvat. Ah, when's Tu B'Tevet to Tu Bishvat is 4 months, right? You understand? So that's a shlish of the year, a third of the year. And he explains that a third represents, in a human being, when you look at the anatomy of a human being, a human's heart is the point of a third. So Tu Bishvat represents the lev, the heart of the year. What does it mean, the heart of the year? So the Ran in Rosh Hashanah explains, why is Tu Bishvat the Rosh Hashanah for trees? For fruit. It's fruit trees, right? Because the blossoming starts at Tu Bishvat. The trees actually blossom. Well, you have no trees yet. You have no fruit yet. It's just a blossoming. When you have a first fruit, it should be the Rosh Hashanah Eitz Asada, right? For trees. So the Ran explains, no, that most of the rain has come into Eretz Yisrael by Tu Bishvat. And from the rain, what happens, what grows in the tree, is the sap of the tree. And since the sap of the tree is what produces the fruit, the potential for fruit already exists in the tree. So too, says the Shem Yishmol, the potential for the year already exists in the year. And what we received from Rosh Hashanah till now is our deeds have now come into the level of potential. From Tu Bishvat onwards, it comes into action. It's the lave of the year. It's the heart of the year. Right? So there's judgment on that stage of the year, which is an important stage. The heart. We got to the heart. Why is the heart it represents potential? Because everyone's feelings in the heart. But his actions is when he acts out those feelings, when he acts out those emotions. That's the rest of the year. So if anything, we understand a little bit better. Shavuos is what? Is Bikurim, Chag HaBikurim, the first fruit come out on Shavuos, till Sukkot is Mana Katsir, the time of Katsira. It's the beginning of the harvesting, till Chag HaSukkot is the Sof of the Katsira. And Shavuos is the time for Matan Torah, when we receive, Klal Yisrael receive the Torah. Now we become a nation, now we become a nation with Torah to do actions, that our fruit become, they blossom, they come out, the actions. Right? So a man's judged on his actions starts from Shavuos. But the potential for those actions, the potential for the fruit, starts with Tu Bishvat. So this is like the Shlish of the year, the heart of the year, the potential. Now our actions are going to come out. Now the fruit tree blossoms, and the fruit's going to come out till Shavuos, and then with Torah, his actions come into fruition, come into being. Because without Torah, your actions aren't actions, like Tosafot says in Kiddushin. You understand? That's the concept of Tu Bishvat. Now explains, we have a machlokus in Tu Bishvat. When is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot? Is it Rosh Tishri? Or is it Tu Bishvat? Beis Shammai says it's Aleph Shvat. Beis Hillel says Tu Bishvat. We're passing like Beis Hillel. So the Shem Yishmul explains what the machlokus is based on. So tzaddikim are judged on Rosh Hashanah, he says. That's tzaddikim. Person could be omid b'din. That's Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai is al pi din. Beit Shammai, you know the story of the ger. He kicked him out. You want to be a ger in one lesson? He kicked him out. First one's a kol ha-terekul in one leg. Kicked him out. Beit Yisrael taught them. Beit Yisrael is midas ha-chesed. So Beit Shammai, who's midas ha-din, he's al pi din. Only tzaddikim can be omid. Only tzaddikim can live. So Rosh Hashanah, which represents the judgment of tzaddikim, 4 months after that is Aleph Bishvat. Right? That's the judgment of the potential, of the Lev. Whereas Beis Hillel, right? Then there's Benonim is Yom Kippur. And, you know, then the not so, the less than Benonim, I don't know how you call them, I want to say Rishayim, but the less than Benonim, right? That's Sukkos. Yom Rishon. Sukkos is Mana Chesed. That's Beis Hillel. That's Tu Be Tishri. 15th of Tishri, that's Sukkos. 4 months from Tishri, which is Chesed, that's the representation of Beis Hillel, we pass on Beis Hillel in this world. So that's why Tu Bishvat, which is 4 months after, which is the Shlish of the year, third of the year, which represents the heart, happens to be Tu Bishvat. That's the Machlokas he explains. Now, the Arizal says also an interesting thing. The Arizal on this says that we have Arba Rosh Hashanim, and the Groh in Shulchan Aruch says the Makor for Tu Bishvat being a festival for us is this Mishnah. So the Arizal says, the four Rosh Hashanahs, right? Which are Rosh Hashanah, which is our Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah for kings, right? There's Rosh Hashanah, which is the first of Nisan, which is, I think, that's Maisa Behema. And what's the other one? What's the other one? There's another Rosh Hashanah. Pass me a Gemara Rosh Hashanah. It says, Arba Rosh Hashanah here. There are four Rosh Hashanahs. Bechad Benishan, Rosh Hashanah, Melachim, and Rogorim. Right? So it's for Malachim and Regalim. Bechad be'elu Rosh Hashanah l'maisa behema. Right, that's echad be'elu. I made a mistake. Okay. Bechad be'tishri, the machlokas in that. Bechad be'tishri, Rosh Hashanah l'shanim l'shmitin yovalot, natiya v'yirakot, and also that's our Rosh Hashanah. Bechad be'shvat, Rosh Hashanah l'ilan, k'dibri be'shamay, be'sino omrim, b'chamisha asabo, is Rosh Hashanah for l'ilanot. So we have four Rosh Hashanahs. So he says that's keneged the God's name. Yud, K, Vav, K. God's name. Or keneged the shame Adni. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. It comes out that Tu Bishvat is the last letter. It's the He of the Shem Havaya. The He represents Malchus. And also the shame Adni is also the shame of Malchus, the shame of kingship. And it's the last letter. That means it's Malchus of Malchus. Okay, it's the so Rosh Hashanah of Ilanot represents the Gilui of Malchus in the world. And what does that mean? The Gilui of Malchus. Malchus represents expression of God's will in the world. God, that's what a Melech is. A Melech is the expression of God's will in the world. That's what Malchus is. So Tu Bishvat represents this beginning of expression of what we've taken on till then. I.e. the Lev being expressed is the expression of a person's actions. That's the expression of his Malchus. Yeah? You have first your Moach, your head, that's Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh of the year, the Rosh Hashanah. Then there's Tu Bishvat is the Lev. And the rest of the year is the other Evarim, which are going to be expressed. That Malchus gets expressed in the lower part of a person's body. You understand? So from Tu Bishvat onward represents that Gilui Malchus. That's what the Arizal apparently explains. Okay, and that goes very well with the Shem Yishmor. Now, what does this to do with us? Very nice, Tu Bishvat, very nice. What does it do with us? There's a very fundamental concept Chazal is teaching us. What is a Jewish life about? Expression in the physical world. Now, if we think about it, nowadays it's a very popular thing. A lot of my students send me, you know, they send me emails about how good meditation is and how fantastic it is, and it works for focusing, for concentration, for ADHD, for, I don't know, psychological disorders. There's all sorts of things that works. Chazal, right, don't agree with these things. It's anti-Chazal. Why? It sounds like a good thing. Chazal call these things Avodah Zarah. Why are these things Avodah Zarah? What's wrong with them? So I want to explain to you a very fundamental distinction, and this is for us to understand. You know, how do we celebrate our Shabbos? Shabbos is the holiest day in the year. More holy than Yom Kippur. Shabbos is Mises based in. Yom Kippur will be fast when I'm a Malachim, right? It's Chorus. No Mises based in. It's spiritually cut off. Shabbos is also spiritually cut off, but it's Mises based in. It's more stringent because of its Kedusha. We have it every week. We have every week. What do you do on Shabbos? You eat your challah, you have a good shluf, and the hors d'oeuvres. Don't forget the hors d'oeuvres, right? You sit with your kids, you probably only have time to learn. The whole week I'm learning, you know, that full day. Shabbos, after being with your kids and playing with the kids and listening to the Parsha Shavua, right, and then the wife, you're finished. You don't have much time left, right? The holiest day, you're spending all your time doing physical things. And forget the three meals. I mean, even during the week, you don't have three good meals like that, right? Even in Machon Shlama, right? So what is this? The most spiritual day is eating and playing with the kids and with the wife and doing all these physical things. You'd have thought the most spiritual day would be like Yom Kippur. You fast and you pray the whole day. That's you get your heights, right? Shabbos is a bigger holiness. Matan Torah, right? The Gemara says, Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. If you have to have, Rabbi Eliezer says, you could have Kulo Hashem. You can keep the whole festival just to do daven and pray. Daven, pray and learn. You don't have to have sudas. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no. Chetzi Olachem, half for you and half a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, but Shavuos, when we receive the Torah, everyone agrees, you have to have Chetzi Olechem. You're receiving the Torah, the most spiritual thing. You have to have Kulo Olechem, Chetzi Olechem, even going to Reza. What does that mean? What does that mean? That doesn't make sense. From a Jewish point of view, it does make sense. I'll explain to you why. When you meditation, what does that say? They believe in enlightenment, in leaving the goof, in leaving the physical world, in leaving your... When you leave, you know, the breathing exercises or the exercises they do on your emotions, on your thinking, whatever it is. But that's leaving yourself. And it's a focus on self, but focus on self from outside self. Like when you focus on your breathing, you realize you're not your goof. When you focus on your emotions, you're not your emotions. When you focus on your thinking, you're not your thinking. I actually did one of these meditations to see what it was. One of my students, I sat down with him half an hour before my davening and did meditation with him. And I felt very strange afterwards. I felt like my goof, I actually felt my goof wasn't like part of me. It was part of, it was, I knew it was me. I mean, like, you touch your hand, you feel it. But you have this recognition that it's not you. That's not Judaism. That's not Judaism. You don't negate your goof. You don't negate your feelings. It's not a question of negating them. It's a question of, like, controlling them. You don't control them in the way that you're outside them. Yeah?
How about there's the slumber Hasidic, how Friday night, like, after their tish, they, like, go into their basement and kind of meditate and do...
Yeah, different. Jewish meditation is very different. Nigunim. Jewish meditation is very different. When we meditate, it's called Yichudim. It's called Yichudim. We don't do this. It's not Noahic nowadays. But it's one of the Shmoneh Sharim. It's Shah Yichud. Right? It's about meditation. So meditation by mentioning God's name and by connecting to God. There's like five levels of the Neshama, right? So there's Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama Chai, V'yechida, unity, what's called unity, right? Or oneness, right? That's when you do Yichud. Yichudim is to reach that level that we're one with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We don't do that anymore. That's higher than Torah. But that's not the purpose of being up there. It's not the purpose of being up there. The purpose of bringing down into our goof. Tchiyas HaMesim, right? The highest level is to when a person dies and he gets resurrection of the dead, the neshama, when it's fixed, comes back into a goof, comes back into a physical body. The physical body becomes now a levush, becomes a garment, a spiritual garment, but it's a spiritual connection to the goof, to the physical world. It won't be so physical then, because the goof will become more spiritual, but it's the same goof, it's the goof that we have. We believe in expression of the goof. That's called Kedusha. That's called holiness. Holiness is when our spirituality is connected to goof. From a Jewish point of view, meditation is death. It's Avodah Zorah, because the term for Avodah Zorah is Zivchei Meitim, the korban, the offering to the dead. Why is it called death? Because death means the removal of the neshama to the goof. When I leave my goof, and the purpose is to have enlightenment and not to come back. The only reason I come back is to take other people with me. That's called death from a Jewish point of view. A Jew has to eat cholent and enjoy it. A Jew has to feel his feelings for love of his wife and his kids, for hate for his enemies when he's in war. When, if lo aleinu, a person's parents or relatives dies, he's supposed to cry. Someone asked a rabbi that a person they saw, he lost a relative and he didn't cry. It was completely unemotional. That's an avera. That's a wrong thing. You're not to be so controlled of your emotions. You don't cry on a relative. You're supposed to cry. If a Talmud Chacham lo aleinu dies, the Gemara says, you should cry. You should do kriya on it. It's a hefsit to us. It's a loss to us. We're supposed to feel our feelings, even uncontrollably. When you cry, it's an uncontrollable feeling. You're supposed to have them. You're supposed to enjoy your food. You're supposed to do that. We don't believe in eating in a way that you don't enjoy it. Even the biggest Kabbalists, when they used to have all their kavanas, there's kavanas, there's like hesed kavanas, there's like special prayers that you do when you eat. And it used to take them half an hour to make those prayers when they eat. A bracha? You have to enjoy the food. The food's tastier. Because you're eating a food that's what it's brought down in Sfarim. The Ariz brings down that lo al lechem levado yichye adam, el kol motze piv Hashem yichye adam. The motze piv of Hashem is in the lechem. When you eat the food, Ben Ishchai also brings this, when you eat the food, you're not eating food only. When you make a bracha, you're eating also the ruchnias of the food. You're eating the spirituality that's in the food. That's why we have kosher food, that's why we have shechita, that's why we have all these things. They became part of us. They don't only nourish us physically, they nourish us spiritually. When you eat on Shabbos, it's a mitzvah to eat. It nourishes you spiritually. It's brought down in Sfarim, in other Sfarim, it's brought down. That when you eat on Shabbos, it takes you to a higher level of existence. You're eating. Not only you're davening, you're eating. It affects you spiritually. When you eat matzah on Pesach, it affects you spiritually. When you have Arba Kosov, the four cups of wine on Pesach, it affects you spiritually. That's what Judaism is about. Judaism is not about leaving this world. That's what Tu B'Shvat teaches us. Tu B'Shvat's the lave. But the lave has to be expressed. That's what a Jewish life's about, that we express our lave. We live with our lave. We don't control our lave. We're not outside our lave. We're not outside our thoughts. We're with our thoughts. We're with our heart. We're with our body. We play basketball at the yeshiva. We exercise. We do all those things. We enjoy a good meal. We're not supposed to be able to get to a level where we don't need to eat, where the only thing I eat every day is just rice. We're not supposed to get down that level. You're right, it says about the Grohl, that he got such a level of learning, he didn't need to eat. But that wasn't a tachlis, that was a metzias of a person. That wasn't like, it's not a purpose for a human being. There's no mitzvah in the Torah that you shouldn't eat. And the Grohl must have ate on Shabbos, there was a mitzvah to eat bread on Shabbos. He must have ate meals on Shabbos. He must have kzais or kabetza of matzah. You have to have meat on Purim, you have to have meat on Shabbos, or chicken, or some sort of meal. You understand what I'm saying? Makes sense to you? We're not about leaving the world, we're about being involved. From Judaism's point of view, God's married to the world. God wants to have expression in the world. That's why marriage is such an important point of view from Judaism. God's connection to the world is to express himself in the world. So they make this world a harmonious place. Not to leave a world of suffering. We don't see a woman as a bad thing or as a devil or chas v'sholom or close to there. We see a woman as kedusha. We call marriage kedushin, holiness. The highest level a Jewish person can reach is when he's married. If he's not married, he's not a complete person, the Gemara says. The Gemara in Yevamos, he doesn't have simcha, he doesn't have joy, he doesn't have Torah. He doesn't have Torah, he's learning Yeshiva, he doesn't have Torah if he's not married. You have to understand what that means. On the Kruvim and the Aron HaKodesh, you know the Aron HaKodesh, the Holy of Holies, the Kohen God goes once a year. Who are these Kruvim, these cherubim, what they were? When the Goyim saw that, they laughed. It's a male and a female that are connected like a man and woman. When they saw it, when they went to the base of Midrash, they didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. Bilam lost his eyesight because he didn't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved in the connection of man and woman. Goyim don't understand that that's Kedusha. That's holiness. You know what happens when a man and woman connect? You bring a neshama into the world. It's the greatest creativity a person can have. That a man has the ability to bring a neshama into the world. And the Maharal explains, the more a husband and wife love each other, the greater the neshama they bring into the world. Love. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about real love. I'm talking about romance and that sort of stuff. I'm talking about real love. That brings a higher level neshama into the world. I'm not talking about physical desire. You understand what I'm telling you? Makes sense to you? That's why we believe in marriage. Marriage is the highlight. That's why in Judaism, the family is the highlight. Tu Bishvat, what did you do yesterday with the Tu Bishvat? 15 Shira Malas, 15 fruit. Who do you do with? You sit with the kids. The rabbi sits with the kids, right? You read your Shira Malas, your wife reads the little midrash, and the kids read after you, right? I prefer to sit in there. I prefer, if you ask me, I came from my kolo, I came from my thing earlier, I got a call, came home, and did this with my kids. I could sit and learn Gemara. Be Mishashaya with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm sitting and learning with my kids. Tu Bishvat, fruits, eating fruits. That's spirituality? Yes. We have the birth of a Jewish nation is which Chag? Pesach. What was the Chiddush of Pesach? Korban Pesach. That we separated from Avodah Zorah. This was the Seh of the Mitzrayim. Right, this was the Seh of the Jewish of Egypt. This was their korban. We take the same avodah zarah and we make it a korban to Hashem. How do you make it a korban to Hashem? It's a family korban. It's a family thing. All our festivals are family. The birth of the Jewish nation was a family korban with a family offering, because the birth of our nation is the birth of a family. The world doesn't understand that. The world has the breakdown of a family. What keeps us as a nation is the keeping of our family. That's why education is important by us. That's why learning is so important by us. That's why growing up our children and teaching our children. V'shinantam levanecha. Should teach your children. Even a rabbi, his relationship to his talmidim is like a child. A father to a child. Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael. It's a family concept. You see your talmidim as your children. The process from generation to generation, the transforming of Torah, is a family transformation. From Talmud, from Rav to Talmud, that means from father to child. That's how we see things. Judaism is about expression, about using our guf, using our physicality in a proper way. That's what it's all about. And that's what Tu Bishvat teaches us. Tu Bishvat is the heart, the lathe, the beginning. And it's very interesting that Tu Bishvat, we'll finish off here. Tu Bishvat is when? It's always after Shabbos Shira. We say, Az Yashir. There's a very interesting Rashi. Rashi says, Az Yashir. It doesn't make sense. Az, he will sing. What do you mean, then he will sing? He's singing now. What do you mean, then? So he says, Az, then, when it went up into his heart, he will sing. It'll be automatic for him to sing. So we see, what happens to a person is the Aliyah, the rising up of the expression of the heart, then the expression is like automatic. The Shira is automatic. After Tu Bishvat is the time for Shira, the time for expression. When a person's properly expressed, that's when a person's Ashar, when a person sing. Klal Yisrael is called Yisrael. It's the same notion as Shir. Yud Shin Reish. Right? Shir. Yashar and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, straight with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, means we're expressing His will. That's what a Shir is. A Shir, when a person says something straight with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's in a matzav, he's in a form of Shir. Of joy, as Yashir. Rashi also brings another pshat. As then, Ba'olam Haba, we'll sing. When in Olam Haba, we will see that all our expression of ourselves is in the proper way. It's like Klal Yisrael. When we're behaving like a Yisrael, when we're Yashir with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, then that'll be the time for Shir. So this is a Shir. Tu Bishvat is the beginning of a Shir, of the fruits. We say the Shira Malas, the 15 Shira Malas of the Levim. We're saying them on the fruits, because the Shir is an expression. The Shir of the Levim is a Shir of proper expression, and we're doing that on our fruit, because our fruit are our mitzvahs. This is just a dimion, a comparative to our mitzvahs, that our fruit and our mitzvahs will be proper, will be straight, will be the expression of God's will. And that's what Tu Bishvat represents. And that's what Judaism represents. As opposed to these other religions, that it's Avodah Zarah. It's Zivchei Mesim. It's non-expression. It's dis-expression. It's leaving the real self. You understand? It's a focus on an upper self, but not on the expression of the upper self and the lower self. It's a disconnection. That's why it's called Misa. That's why it's called Avodah Zarah. You understand? So even, you know, there's three types. There's like the Eastern, which is the mind type of type of meditation. Then there's the Arabs, which is like they twirl, like spins, the emotional form of meditation. And there's the Chinese, which is the physical, the goof form of meditation. All those three are, in a sense, forms, not of Avodah Zarah, but conceptually they're that way. That doesn't mean you can't do meditation halakhically. Certain meditations are allowed, but you have to understand that the concept is not to separate yourself from the world. The concept is to be mitchaber to the world, to express into the world, to eat like a Jew, to eat your challah, to eat your ice cream on Shabbos. Right? And enjoy! The Gemara says, a nazi is a chote, because he doesn't enjoy all his wine. He can't have wine. If you make a neder, you're a chote. If you restrain yourself from the physical world, we're supposed to be fully expressed in the physical world, but at the right time, at the right place, and with the right things. That's what Judaism is about, complete sublimation. That's the concept. Okay, any questions?
How do we know the right time and the right place?
That we learn from the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs teach us. Those are the fruit. If you want a good fruit, you have to water it properly, you have to know how to do it. And the halacha is there to enhance that the proper fruit come out. You can't just like water it all the time or put this fertilizer in that. You have to know what to put to get a proper fruit. You have to know what to prune, how to do it. That's the halacha. The halacha is the guidelines to produce the proper fruit, the proper connection to the world. You marry one girl. How you do it? It's a proper way of doing it. And for generations, we don't have a 60% divorce rate. I'm not even sure we have a 5% divorce rate. Okay?